That's what a team does. And the Life Center is a team, right? We're a team. We're doing things together. We've been talking about a summer of finding. And
you can go on our website, tlcforme.cc, and listen to all the messages if you want. Today we're going to talk about finding your edge. And I thought, but that would be a great message for our community. And finding your edge doesn't mean this competitive edge in order to outdo somebody else or get one up on somebody else. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we look for a competitive edge. We size them up and we look for weaknesses and strengths, and we wonder where we can get our edge, how we can get our thing to happen, how we can get our will and our desires to occur. We're looking for an edge. But I'm not talking about that today. Maybe some of you spend your whole life looking for that kind of an edge. Maybe there's something inside of you that feels threatened by people and threatened by crowds of people and threatened by things that other people do. There are some people that are just nonconformist, and it don't matter what is happening, they inside of them there's this, I'm not going to conform. I'm suspicious of the group, the crowd. I'm suspicious of what everybody's thinking and what everybody's doing. I want to stand out, be an individual, and do my own thing. And I don't know where all of that comes from, but it's kind of a bummer when you do that with Jesus, when you do that with God, when you do that with His will and His purpose. So I'm not talking about that kind of an edge today. We're at Kuski Days, right? And the Kuski Days and the community celebrations, they're really all about coming together for common good, for unity, for celebrating we are from this area. We are community members. We are together. And that's really what a community celebration is supposed to be. I know there's people that leave town when the town celebration occurs. I'm not sure what that says about everybody, but I know that there are people that do that, and you haven't, though. And a bunch of people were here yesterday that didn't, and a bunch of people were here Friday that didn't. God loves community. You know the last word of community? It's common unity. God loves community. There's a Greek word called koinonia, right? Which is just this really intense fellowship, unity, togetherness, loving each other, supporting each other. And so I'm not talking about a competitive edge at all when I'm talking about this. When I say finding our edge, I'm talking about being repaired, being restored. Think about a knife that has been dulled and it's not very effective. Oh, you can still cut stuff with it, mostly, but it's just not effective. It's not fun. It's not efficient. It's not doing what it was supposed to do, what it was created to do, what you need it to do sometimes. It's not doing it. Think about that. Think about finding your edge, being repaired, being healed, being strengthened, becoming sharp in a way that maximizes your potential. Because I believe you all have potential. I believe Kuski has amazing potential. I believe that individually we have potential. I believe that our family units have potential. I believe that our church and our community organizations have a lot of potential. And if we could find our edge, we could maximize our potential. And that's what I wanted to talk a little bit about today, is finding your edge, maximizing your potential, and minimizing those barriers and those obstacles in your life. How many of you would like that? Maximize potential and minimize barriers and obstacles. That sounds good, doesn't it? Doesn't sound easy, but it sounds good. It's like, hey, I've been trying to do that for 40 years. What's the secret? Well, we're gonna give you the recipe for the secret sauce today, maybe, you know? Maybe you'll get to see that today. A knife or a tool becomes dull with normal use, right? Anybody know that? If you're a hunter and you're out chasing animals and you're gonna field dress an animal, if you're smart, you'll have a knife sharpener with you, because just using the knife for the job you brought it to do will dull it. And then it makes your job really hard, frustrating, complicated. But if you could sharpen that edge, life would be so much better. The job you're trying to do can get done so much faster. And I'm really interested in that. So a tool becomes dull with normal use. So just because you're dull doesn't mean something really bad has happened in your life. It could mean that. I've had knives that I've used for other purposes besides cutting. I've abused them. Anybody have ever abused their knife? I had this knife that I loved. It was an old timer, and they're supposed to be amazing, right? And so I used it to break the pelvis of a deer and an elk. But now I would set it on the pelvis, and then I would get my hatchet out, and I would hammer on the knife. That's not really exactly what the knife was built for. I abused it for years and years and years, until one day it was really cold. It was like 10 degrees, and I did it, and I broke the knife. Bummer, right? There's a lot of times we can get by with stuff for a while that's abusive to our edge, and then one day it just breaks. Anybody been there? I've been doing that for 15 years, and all of a sudden one day all the wheels fell off and life fell apart, because I was just not finding my edge. I just was abusing the thing. So I remember when I was a sawyer in the woods, when I was logging, they have this phrase, you can either work the saw or the saw can work you. Which means if your chain is really sharp, it's really easy to operate the saw and do your job. But if you let the chain get dull, the saw starts to work you. Your arms get tired, your back gets sore, you're forcing it through, trying to make it do its job when it's not effective and not efficient. But if you would stop and file that thing, or if you've really abused it, replace that chain, right? Then you crank it up and just take off and do your job. So much more fun, so much more efficient. And in life, life can be probably more fun than you're currently having. Life can be more efficient than what you're currently experiencing if you would just find your edge, if you would just do that. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10, New King James says, if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. If the axe is dull, you have to use more strength. Was it last Sunday we talked about finding your strength? You can run out of strength pretty quick if you're doing life the hard way. Pastor Bear, one of my friends, he says, life is hard when you're stupid. And I go, yeah, I've been there, done that a couple times. You don't have to say amen to that part. The New Living Translation says it this way, using a dull axe requires great strength, so sharpen the blade. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you succeed. So now we're realizing that your brute strength will only get you so far when the axe is dull, right? Some of us are maybe stubborn enough, strong-willed enough to work the whole day with a dull axe. You can build big muscles that way. But wisdom will bring you even more success. What if you applied the same amount of strength with a sharp axe? How much more would you get done? How much funner would it be? How much easier would life be if we could just find our edge? Too many times, though, we neglect our edge. Anybody neglect your edge? We just kind of don't sharpen it. We kind of don't sharpen our life. We kind of, I've always been this way. My mama was this way. My daddy was this way. This is just our way. Well, it don't have to be your way. You can sharpen your edge a little bit. When I was 20, I did it a certain way and I had a certain amount of passion and I did things. But now, I'm older and this is as good as it gets now. You can sharpen your edge. Do you know it really doesn't matter how much strength you have? If you sharpen your edge, you can do more with whatever amount of strength you have. You can do it easier with whatever amount of... What if the job required X? We'll do a mathematic thing here. What if the job required X? That amount of work. You did it with dullness, without an edge. So you had to apply double or triple the amount of effort and strength and frustration to get X done. But if you just sharpened your edge, you could have accomplished X in much less time and much less effort and had more time and energy to go do some of that other stuff. You guys good at math? I'm not great at math. Kelsey was here, she'd laugh at my formula there. It's like, Dad, that's stupid. I know, life's hard when you're stupid. I heard that. Many times, our community, our neighborhood, our families, even individual lives go after amazing and courageous goals, but with dull and damaged tools. Do you think Kuski has some amazing goals? Do you think that organizations in Kuski have some amazing things they're trying to accomplish for the good of people, for the good of the children, for the good of the neighborhood? I know there's some amazing people here. There's some amazing groups here. There's amazing people trying to accomplish amazing things. What if we would sharpen our edge? We end up working twice as hard and only getting a fraction of the results. We need to sharpen our dull edge. We need to find our edge. How many of you know a dull blade is dangerous? I've handed people my pocket knife before, and I said, be careful, that'll bruise you really bad. When it's dull, you're putting all this strength into it, and now what if it slips, right? It's still got a point on the end of it. It's going to hurt me, you know? A dull blade is a dangerous blade. Even when you're logging, I don't know why I'm going back to logging stuff. Are there any loggers in the crowd listening, you know? Going back to logging, a lot of logging injuries occur that first month because the edge isn't sharp yet. People aren't in shape yet. You get tired. Do anybody make mistakes when you get tired? Do you end up trying to take a shortcut when you get tired? Do you end up trying to do it with precision and skill, but you don't quite have the focus or the energy to do it? I do. Does anybody get crabby when you get tired? Do you ever have relational problems when you get tired? You don't have to point at people. But when you lose your edge, life gets hard. It gets complicated. A dull blade is dangerous. When we're out of shape, we have not honed our skills, we're dull of hearing. Anybody, when you can't hear very good, does life get more difficult? Huh? Right? Everybody go, huh? It's hard to hear that rattlesnake when your ears are bad, right? He's trying to warn you one step closer, I'm going to bite you. But you can't even hear. There's lots of things that a dull hearing will mess you up. How about eyesight? Does anybody have vision issues? Oh, you're wearing glasses. And those that aren't are wearing contacts. I remember when we were in Florida, Dad was driving, and oh, this was 25 years ago or something, and we didn't realize that Dad was having vision problems until he took a 25-mile-an-hour exit at 60 miles an hour. And we were up on two wheels squealing around the corner, And we're going, what's up? He said, I couldn't see the sign until I got right to it. See, dullness is dangerous, isn't it? After that, when we were headed off of the freeway, we would read the sign before we got there, and we'd go, 2-5, Dad, 2-5. And we'd warn him what his speed limit needed to be. A dull blade's dangerous. A dull life is dangerous. Making decisions when your senses are dulled, when you're tired, when you're cranky, when you're weary, when you're not hearing well, when you're not seeing well, and making decisions like at those times, that's dangerous. I've done it. I'm sure a lot of you have done it too. You can't see well, you get nervous, you get paranoid, you're in pain. You're dangerous when that stuff's going on. It's like, I'm not feeling well, just step aside, right? It's like, I'm not in a good mood. Don't even. You say that to people, dull, I'm not in the mood. It's like, I'm not feeling good and I'm dangerous. I'm frustrated and I'm dangerous. That dull blade's really dangerous. One time we had a female Dalmatian. And she was an amazing dog until she got paranoid and nervous. She had a couple litters of pups, and after that second litter of pups, all of a sudden she's nervous. And her fear caused her to start lashing out at people when there was no reason to. But it was her own paranoia, it was her own fear. She ended up trying to bite us, people that she loved, because her senses were dulled with fear and paranoia. I know none of you have ever snapped at anybody because you were afraid or had dullness going on, but that's just dog things, right? I'm just talking about dogs today. So what is it that dulls our blade? You can do nothing wrong and still have a dull blade. I just really want you to know that today. This is not a bunch of condemnation that you all are really bad people and you're dull-bladed. I didn't say dim-witted, I said dull-bladed, right? I don't want to insult anybody. We're going to talk about that in just a minute, but you can do nothing wrong and be dulled, lose your edge. Anybody have a garden? Anybody have a garden? You can do nothing wrong and weeds will grow in your garden. Am I right? You can do nothing wrong, you don't plant weeds, you don't feed weeds, you don't talk nice to weeds. I know people talk to their plants sometimes. Yeah. You can do nothing wrong and your weeds are still going to grow. In life, you can do nothing wrong and still dull your blade. You can be field dressing that animal that you're harvesting and your blade gets dull. It's a bummer when you get home and try to use the same blade to skin it that you did to field dress it. It's like that doesn't work out so well. We need a sharper blade. There are times, though, when we do things wrong that dulls our blade. I got a pocket knife right now in my pocket that used to be very sharp. But I've been cleaning some battery post terminals with it recently. It is no longer sharp, except right at the very back of it here. That's the only place it's sharp. But I could bruise you really bad with the other end of it right now. Because I did something wrong with it. I should go back and resharpen it, but I haven't yet. Hasn't been that inconvenient yet. One of these days is going to get so inconvenient that I'm going to go sharpen it. Or one of my friends will say, give me that knife. I'll give it to them, and they'll try to use it, and they'll say, give me that knife, and they'll go sharpen it for me because they feel sorry for me. How many of you know that sin will dull your blade? So you can do nothing wrong and dull your blade just from using it. But if you mistreat it, misuse it, it will dull your blade. I've sinned before and dulled my blade. I won't tell you how many times, but it's happened, a time or two. Dulled my blade. I get all messed up when I sin. I get all condemned and guilty feeling and defensive and insecure and selfish. And I don't know if you guys have recognized any of those things or not, but sin can dull your blade. It takes gouges out of my blade sometimes. It'll bend it sometimes. The only reason God categorizes sin as sin is because it's not good for you. I don't know if you've realized. It took me 15 years of reading the Bible before the light come on. And I went, wow. The only thing God calls sin are things that are really detrimental to our life. And you go back to the two big commandments, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then you can go back to the Ten Commandments. It's really love God and love your neighbor, right? It's right. Don't be hurting each other, and don't be hurting yourself. Let's all do this thing better. Let's do it right. So when I say the word sin, some people draw back a little bit. But the only reason God calls things sin is because they're not good for you. They dull your blade. They break your blade. They bend your blade. They take big nicks and gouges out of your blade. Here's some other things that can dull your blade. Selfishness, rebellion, unforgiveness. Being lazy will dull your blade. Hatred, jealousy, greed. Those are some things you can control if you want to. You can get worked out of your heart if you want to. Here's some other things that can dull our blade. Being injured, being abused, being mistreated, being neglected. Sometimes the way other people treat us can dull our blade too. I've loaned stuff out and it came back dull before. You guys ever do that? It's like, I didn't do it, but somebody else did it. So are we just going to let it stay dull the rest of our life because somebody else did it? Are you going to let your personality be skewed and messed up the rest of your life because somebody dulled you, gouged you? It's not your fault. Nobody's saying it's your fault. Nobody's blaming you or pointing a finger. We're just asking this question. Is your life dulled, injured, been neglected and mistreated? So are you going to stay that way forever? Or would you like to find your edge? Would you like to sharpen that thing and make it easy and efficient and useful again? I would rather do that. I would rather do that. And I hope you would too. And Jesus is inviting us to have that experience with him. So if things are dull, you got to add a bunch of more effort. But if you would add wisdom, you would have success. So where's the wisdom? We've been talking a little bit about the wisdom already, haven't we? We've been talking about the wisdom already. Losing your edge can also deal with how you think. We have a family joke. And the punchline of the joke is, I'm smart, I have kidneys. That's the punchline of the joke. And I know you almost have to be a family member to understand that. When my son-in-laws came into the family, my daughters would go, I'm smart, I have kidneys. And they're both looking at him going, you're stupid. That's kind of the point of the joke. Yeah, it's kind of the point of the joke. But now that I've had a kidney removed, guess what my daughters are doing? Yeah, they're calling me dim-witted, you know. They're calling me a half-wit. Actually, the word is half-wit. Because if I'm smart because I had kidneys, and now I only have one kidney, I'm now a half-wit. Don't you love your families? But the reality is, your thinking can be dulled. And if you don't intentionally sharpen your thinking, you're going to live life putting way too much effort into things that if you would add some wisdom to it, you would be successful. Sometimes we're just a little ways off from success. It's just an adjustment. It's just getting out the whetstone and sharpening. There's times you need the grinder to get started, right? There's times that you've neglected that thing so bad, you got to put it in a vise and get the grinder out or something. I've done that with lawnmower blades, for instance. Yeah, you're not supposed to, but I've done it. But there's so many times in life, all we need is an adjustment of wisdom, and we would have success. So where do we go for our wisdom? Does God want us successful? Maybe we have to answer that question first. Does God want us successful? Are we just supposed to accept life how it is and endure it until the end, and then we get to go to heaven? Does God want us successful? There are people that would say no. No. And there are verses that they would quote, right? But I really think God wants us successful. I think he wants us to be fruitful. I think he wants us to enjoy accomplishment. How do we do that? Look at what God told Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. He said, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. Does that sound like success? Nobody will be able to stand against you as long as you live. He says, be strong and courageous. When God says, be it, it means you can. God wouldn't say, be strong if you couldn't be strong. He wouldn't say, be courageous if you couldn't be courageous. There's some wisdom, there's some thinking, there's an edge we need to find so we can be strong and courageous. He said, obey my instructions and you will be successful in everything you do. He's telling Joshua that. And they're coming out of 40 years of no success and then 400 years prior to that of slavery. And he said, if you'll just listen to me and do what I say, you will be successful. But again, we can go back to sometimes we're suspicious of even God. Does God want us to be successful, or does he have other motivations for telling us not to do something or asking us to do something? A lot of people say, I'm not going to go to church because God wants my money. Do you really think God wants your money? Really? Do you think that's what it's about? That is not what it's about. Well, God just is going to put all these restrictions on my life and I won't have any fun. Do you really think that's who God is? Are you that skeptical? What's created that skepticism? Life's hard if you don't sharpen your edge, if you don't sharpen your thinking a little bit. He told Joshua, he said, study my book of instruction. Be sure you obey everything in it, and then you will prosper and succeed. Do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid. I will be with you wherever you go. And God says things like that to you and I too. So he does want us successful. What's preventing us from the success that God wants us to have? Sometimes it's just we've lost our edge. It's that dull blade. It's that lack of wisdom. That we're living life with a lack of wisdom in a couple of areas. When if we would sharpen that, life could be so much better. Isaiah 61. I want to read these verses to you, verses 1 through 4. This is just some main concepts of who God is and what God wants for you. Jesus quoted these verses one day in Jerusalem when he was in a synagogue and they were reading Isaiah, and he opened the book to this chapter and he fulfilled these verses. And today these verses are still being fulfilled in our generation and in our time. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. That's not just the people that don't have any money. That's the people that have a dull blade and life's hard for them. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. If you're brokenhearted, God wants to heal that. He doesn't want you limping through life with a broken heart. He wants to sharpen that for you. Proclaim liberty to captives. The opening of prison to those that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That means that God's here now and he's with you now and he wants to bless you now. He wants to comfort all that mourn. Console all those who mourn in Zion. Look at this. He wants to give us beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. He wants to give us a garment of praise for our spirit of heaviness, that we might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. God wants you and I to be a strong, fully grown, fully developed tree, rock solid, planted by water that is lush and productive and amazing. God wants that for you and I. Does he want us to succeed? Absolutely, he does. Does he have a way? Yes, he does. He has a way. God came to heal us, repair the damage, set us free, get us sharp, get us effective again. I don't know about you, but I need Jesus to sharpen my life daily. Daily. Corey might say hourly, I need sharpened, you know. I need my attitude adjusted. I need recalibrated. I need that. Sometimes life's hard. Sometimes it's disappointing. Sometimes I get afraid. Sometimes I get frustrated. Sometimes I get angry. Sometimes I get fearful. Sometimes I'm angry and I don't even know why. Sometimes I'm frustrated and I'm not even sure why. God says, let's go to the tool shed. We're not going out behind the shed. Some people in church think it's really spiritual to be out behind the shed all the time. I've been behind the shed a few times too, when God's disciplining me. But so many more times, 9 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100, God wants to take me inside the shed and sharpen my blade. So come on, Kelly, let's adjust your thinking here. Let's adjust your emotions here. Let's adjust your perspective here. You're a little dull right now. Let's find your edge. You can come out of that shed with your head held high, ready to face life again. Energized and excited. Where do you get wisdom? Where do you get your values? Where do you get your worldview? We're living in a society that it's not common to have a worldview that comes from God and his word. It's really not common today. Our worldview sometimes is shaped by our media. Some parts of education that want to push a certain way of thinking on society. Where do you get your worldview? And there's weird things on both sides of the track, isn't there? One of my minister friends said, for every mile of road, there's 2 miles of ditch. You can get in the ditch on either side of the road if you're not careful. You can get all your perspectives from talk radio if you're not careful, or doom and gloomers, or whatever. Or you can get all your perspective from hugely liberal media. But I really hope that you open your Bible and you get your worldview from there. And you let God sharpen your thinking. And you may be leaning one direction or the other. How do you know that you can drive on closer to one ditch or closer to the other ditch and still be in the road? I'm not saying anything bad about that. I'm just saying don't run into the ditch. Stay out of the ditch. Let God shape your thinking. There are times that I get way over in the ditch. It takes 2 wreckers to pull me out, you know. God says, come on, Kelly, we can't think like that. Let's think this other way. And he helps me. He gives me wisdom. Life's hard when you're in the ditch. Life's hard that way. So we need better wisdom. Better wisdom will give you better success. We need wisdom, and Jesus offers it. And I am here this morning just to tell us Jesus offers us the wisdom that we need to sharpen our edge. Where else are you going to get your edge sharpened? Where else are you going to find somebody that loves you enough to die for you, to take your place, to serve your time, to pay your penalty? Jesus did that. He's already proven that he loves us. We can trust him. So just a few things. If you have sin in your life, get rid of it. Make some better choices, because that dulls your edge and it messes you up. If you've been damaged, abused, neglected, mistreated, say, Jesus, heal me. Sharpen my edge. I do not want to live my life like this forever. Please heal me. Please restore my edge. And for some of you, maybe, some of the friends that you have, they've never known what it would be like to have a sharp edge. They've never known. What a glorious thing it would be to help them find out. Right? So get the nicks and gouges all worked out. Regularly give your edge the attention it requires. If you leave it to itself, it will get dull and duller and duller and duller. Your garden will get full of weeds if you just leave it to itself. Your yard, this park, would get full of weeds if we just left it to itself. Somebody's been taking care of this place, haven't they? Man, there's been some stuff. Hey, Katie, your dad started this park, and it was just a barren, dumpy, junky piece of land. And look what it's like today. Somebody had a vision and a heart for it. And then other people have taken up the mantle, taken up the cause. It's got a nice irrigation system. There's not a bunch of dandelions growing in it. Somebody's taking care of this place. Your life could be more like a park than a desert, if you want it to be. God has the water. He has the wisdom. He'd love to help you. He'd love to help our community. Think about our community organizations. If we could sharpen our edge a little more, how much better could our schools be? How much better could our cities be? How much better could the organizations that help people in our cities be if we could just sharpen the edge a little more? Same work, more results with a sharper edge. Are you guys ready to get your edge sharpened? I hope you just don't go home and say, that was cool, but I ain't going to do nothing about it. I hope you go home and say, I'm going to do something about that. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to open the Bible and read some stuff. I'm going to let somebody disciple me and help me. We're going to get this edge sharp. And then let's get out in our community and take our whetstone with us and help them sharpen their thinking and sharpen their activities and sharpen their actions a little bit so that they can even be more effective at trying to do the good things they're trying to do. They would love it. We would love it. God would love it. Let's do that. Proverbs 27:17 says, as an iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. And I know there are times when the sparks fly, right? Have you ever had sparks fly off of iron? It'll do it. Sometimes sparks fly off of each other, but we're sharpening each other. Love each other, forgive each other, bless each other, help each other. Be a friend to each other.